So hey there, welcome back to Accelerated Real Estate Investor. Hey, it's Josh, and really excited that you're back on listening to yet another podcast, another interview. Today I have a great guest for you. His name is Barry Flavin. Barry has been investing in real estate for over 8 years. He's from the Metro Detroit area. He started, you know, like a lot of us, in single family investing, rehabbing and flipping houses, and then used those proceeds from those flips to purchase 20 single family rentals. This is all while being an air traffic controlman at Detroit Metro Airport. Barry now currently owns close to 1,000 units with his business partner, Josh. And Barry's, you know, ultimately passion for cash flow, mailbox money, ultimately replaced his income as an air traffic controlman. And Barry enjoys now sharing his knowledge of real estate and his deals with investors. His primary function in his business is working with passive investors, recruiting capital to fund their deals. His company is called New Mission Capital, and he is excited to be our next guest on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. On this interview, some of the things that we talk about is Barry's deal structure. He does a normal 70-30 split with investors with no preferred return. Barry's also going to talk about how his original mindset of living his life was, you know, work 40 hours a week, work for 35 years, ultimately do what you want down the road, pay off your house, and how in just 5 years was able to accomplish more and have more free time, more income, more assets than he would have had in that entire 35-year timeline if he had stuck with the corporate world, and in his case, being an air traffic controlman. Number three, Barry and I talk about how his experience as an air traffic controlman, literally managing the flight patterns of planes, has allowed him to manage his portfolio of rental properties. Again, nearly 1,000 units that he owns and operates. And we're also going to talk about Barry's favorite place to decompress and how he's able to take time, 25 to 30 minutes a day, to simply think about his business and how that little exercise has had a huge impact on leveling up his investments, creating equity, and a bigger balance sheet. That little exercise of taking 25 to 30 minutes to think, right? That little exercise is the ultimately one of the biggest reasons for his success today. So I'm glad you're back for yet another episode of Accel Real Estate Investor. Enjoy this one with me and Barry Flavin.
Welcome to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you're looking to retire early with forever passive income, you're in the right place. This podcast is the go-to destination for real estate investors, both active and passive, and multifamily apartment investors, both new, intermediate, and advanced. Now, sit back, listen, learn, and accelerate your business, your life, and your investing with the Accelerated Investor Podcast.
So Barry, listen, so excited to have you on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. Thanks so much for carving out some time to be on the show.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, Josh. Happy to be on today. Appreciate it.
You bet. So I'm always excited to talk to guys that, you know, that own 200, 300 units, growing, have had some success. You know, last I read your bio, you have about 250 units building the portfolio. I'm excited to hear more about that. But, you know, I kind of like to start with my new guests and find out like what they're working on right now. Like, what is something that you're doing today, this weekend, next week, that gets your juices going? Do you have a deal that you're closing or a property that you're working on to tell our audience about? Give us a little bit of flavor around what you're up to.
Sure thing. Yeah. Our latest project we're working on, it's got us pretty excited. We're getting close to the finish line here on our first little portfolio offering for our investors. What we've done is we've taken a couple small multifamily unit buildings. There's a 22 unit, a 24 unit, and then we're blending those together with two triple net properties, which is not new to us. It's new to our investor base. So we kind of blended a little portfolio here. The multifamily properties are kind of turnaround projects, and the triple net is kind of a pretty stable asset, very predictable.
Cash flow crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah, blending those together. So we kind of put the feelers out to the investors to see if that'd be something they were interested in. And there was quite a bit of interest, so we put it out there, and we got the money raised, and now we're just in the process of getting it across the finish line.
Got it. So these are deals that you got kind of under contract separately, all at the same time, and you're now going to kind of portfolio them together?
It all kind of came together where we had the two multifamily deals under contract. I was going to buy one myself personally. My partner was going to buy one himself personally. And then we had an 11-unit retail space triple net deal come our way. And that's when, kind of the same time, we had the investors asking, hey, guys, what's next in the pipeline? We're looking to place some funds. And well, we really don't have anything too juicy. So he said, hey, what would you guys think if we bundled this together and made it a little portfolio offering? And that's when they all said, yeah, absolutely. Put it together and let's chat about it. So
nice. So tell me about the structure. Like what is obviously, guys, full disclosure, Barry's not making an offer on this podcast. Want to make that clear, Let's talk about the structure.
Not an offer.
Yeah. Let's talk about the structure. So what are you going to do to kind of blend them together? What is going to kind of be the presentation to investors? Is there a pref return equity? What is kind of your all-in number versus the stabilized value? How does it look?
Yeah, so it's kind of the same format that we do for really all of our syndications. And I must have sent you an old bio. We're actually up to, we're just a little over 1,000 units now total.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, I got an old bio, man. And this is as of 2019, man. What year is this?
I must have sent you an old. So I personally have controlling interest of about 450 units. And then the greater portion of the total 1,000 units comes from my partner and me together.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, anyway, so how we structure these typically is we give away 70% of the equity to the limited partners, to our investors. We don't offer a preferred return. And the only reason we don't is we just don't want to find ourselves in a position where the building or the complex might need investment, and we're kind of stuck. We're like, God, we got to return 5-7%. But at the same time, gosh, we really need a roof. So, and the other thing to that point is we align ourselves, our investors, where there's no a class A, class B, class C investor. So, and same for us, we don't get paid before the investors, everybody's in line. If it's a bad quarter, we're right there with everybody else. If it's a great quarter, we all get to share in that.
I love that.
So we give away 70% of the equity. We keep 30 from New Mission Capital. And typically when we're underwriting deals, we try to find something that we can achieve that 7-8% cash on cash returns with an overall 16 average annual return for our investors.
Got it. And is the goal exit after 3 to 5 to 7 years, or refi, or just kind of depends on the deal?
We're long-term guys. We want to refi. We, in a perfect world, we can find deals that we can get out there. We can add a bunch of value to these things. And after, say, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that target time frame is, go in, refinance these things, return as much capital as we can back to the investors. And all of our investors, they still retain their same percentage of ownership that they started at. So in a perfect world, somebody gives us $100,000. 3 years later, we refinance it. We give them their $100,000 back, and they continue to own that same percentage of the deal, cash distributions, and still get to take all the tax advantages and so on.
Playing with the house's money, baby.
Yep.
Mailbox money. We like it. Yeah. That's fantastic. So if someone was looking to get into this space, right, and starting to kind of get going, I heard you say, like, you know, three smaller deals. I heard a lot of guys on my podcast, we own 3,500 units. We're focusing on larger deals. We just closed on a 552 unit. We just closed on a 220. Awesome. But I like the little stuff too, man. We got a 16 unit. You're talking about packaging up a 22, a 24 unit. I guess talk to that for a minute. You know, the market's tight. There's a lot of capital in the space right now. And sometimes those mom and pop deals, those 10 units to 80 units, are the juiciest ones. They're less work, quicker turns. Tell us about that and how you've been able to be successful with some of the smaller portfolios. And then even with this one, like, why did you decide to package them all up instead of doing them separate?
Yeah, so you kind of touched on it there. It's just such a tight market right now. It's extremely tough to find deals. And the second point there is a lot of these smaller mom and pop deals, I think there's a lot of juice there. I think people... they just, like one of these that we bought, it's just, it's your classic example of how not to run an apartment building, right?
I love to buy those.
I know. It's like, we see those. When I see a handwritten rent roll, we start to get excited.
Are you ready to automate and explode your real estate investing? We're searching for extremely motivated individuals who are sick and tired of wasting time and want to finally see real results from their real estate investing business. We're searching for investors looking to get to the next level and become a bigger, better version of themselves while being a more successful real estate investing entrepreneur. Apply for mentoring and coaching at joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast. That's joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast.
Heck yeah. Actually, I got a rent roll. Oh my God. This little 16 unit. I mean, when I look back at the last 4 months, the guy had it all on a ledger, handwritten, and nobody paid in one check. Like, yep. This unit was like $200 on the first, $200 on the eighth, $200 on the 15th, $200. It adds up to $800, which is great. It was, but you know, market rent. But holy smokes, man. So we got involved. We had to turn the place over, kick out some of the residents. But then a lot of them were like, I can pay all at once. The guy just never asked me to. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, how about a software? Can you guys log into like an online portal for paying your rent? No. I just gave the guy cash in the parking lot. Like those are the best deals to buy sometimes, the juiciest deals. And frankly, I know I could put that. I just bought that back in October. Put it right back on the market right now and probably make several $100,000 on it. Yep. You know what I mean? Yeah, and those are deals that make you feel good. It's kind of a quick, you know, a quick base hit. Nothing wrong with the small ones. Our model, Barry, is built off of having 200 units in an area so that we can get some economies of scale around property management and maintenance. So what are your thoughts when you do buy a smaller building? What things do you try to do to just have some of that scale, use resources to manage the smaller buildings? Because some people will say, don't buy the small ones because it become a management headache.
No, absolutely. And that's kind of the key to our success is we have everything. So we started like a lot of people in the single family space. We were buying the dumpy houses at the bottom of the crash, buying them, fixing them up. And then once we learned how to put these commercial portfolio loans together, we'd go to the bank with 5 or 10 houses at a time that we bought with our own cash or investor cash, fixed them up, built in that equity, go to the bank and kind of recycled that money. And we scaled that way. And my partner started first buying some of these smaller apartment complexes, these 24 units and 30 units, 40 units. And I was probably 5 years behind him in starting in real estate investing. And he's my mentor, kind of showed me the ropes here and brought me along. And he got to about 50 doors himself. And that's when he tried to farm out to a property management company to manage his stuff. And he said, you know, I just can't find anybody that's doing as good a job as I am. Yeah, I'm busy running around trying to cover all the, put out all these fires. So he hired a full-time maintenance person, a full-time office person, bought a small office. And that's now grown into 33 or 34 employees now on the property management side. And that has allowed us, we're in the Metro Detroit area, and we've been able to buy a lot of these small to mid-size assets. And some of them, they're not quite big enough to have full on-site staff all the time. So we have just a mobile army of maintenance folks and leasing agents out there that are able to take care of all these properties. And yeah, we're getting those economies of scale because most stuff's within an hour drive of kind of our headquartered office.
Nice. Yeah, I tell people on the podcast and some of the guys that I consult with and coach, like the goal is to get to really 100 units in an area. Yep. Because on around 100, you can have at least one full-time property manager, one full-time maintenance guy, and a small piece of a leasing agent. Our model is built off of 200 units in a group. Because at 200, you can have a full-time property manager and a kind of a part-time assistant, or two full-time property managers if they're kind of make a little bit less on the income. And then basically, maintenance guy is one per 100 doors, roughly. Yep. And then a leasing agent's around one per 400 doors. And especially if you're at scale and you don't have a huge amount of vacancy, maybe, you know, 5 or 10% vacancy. So it's 200, 200, then a 400 for one leasing agent. And so we're willing to buy the 22 unit, the 48 unit, the 76 unit to fill in the portfolio in certain areas. So if you're new and just buying your first buildings, you know, make sure that you might have to self-manage until you get to 100 and then you're really in a good situation. Now, we've got one building that we've got one guy that does property management, leasing, and maintenance. His name is Sean. He's fantastic. He lives on site. He handles it all. And for about $40,000 or $45,000 a year, the dude crushes. So sometimes you have a unicorn type of guy who can do it all. And you could do, you know, 50 doors with one guy that can. Now, that's rare, right? Probably rare for you guys, too. But you have, you know, it's an option. And certainly in today's market, like, the big money's all fighting over the large deals. We fight over the large deals, too. But, man, I'm not walking away from a 33 unit right now.
Absolutely. No, I to one of your previous questions is people getting ready to start. It's like everybody's kind of got their eye on, like, oh, I got to get that 100 unit deal right out of the gates or that 50 unit deal right out of the gates. I just bought a duplex 2 days ago.
Yeah.
They're like, what are you doing messing around with a little duplex? I go, it cash flows, man.
Yeah. It cash flows.
I'm still going to bend over and pick up a $20 bill. I'm going to bend over and pick up a dollar bill.
Yeah.
It makes money. I can refinance my cash back out of it here in a few months once I get it cleaned up and turned around. And I'll buy anything from a single family home all the way up to our 100, 200 unit buildings and everything in between.
Fantastic. So I'm curious, Barry, it's great. I love that. Because, you know, you're not like foregoing your roots of getting started and all the challenges that you face when you were new. And you're like, look, I fought to get deals back then. I've got a deal. I'm not going to just step over it because I'm too good for it or too big. So I'm curious how you got started. Like, did you have a job that you left? And what were some of the challenges that you were kind of getting going? I know you started single family and you've kind of migrated over time into multifamily. But tell us about your start. Tell us about some of your personal challenges and some of the hurdles you had to jump through to get some success going in this business.
Yeah, absolutely. So got my start through, like I mentioned before, just buying single family homes. And my good friend, Josh, we were both air traffic controllers at Detroit Metro.
Okay.
And we started there in 2010 together. We both showed up within about 2 weeks. And right around that time is when Josh had first started buying a couple of his first rental properties, these single family homes. He grew up in Lake Tahoe and then went, he had an aviation career. He was a commercial airline pilot and found his way into Detroit. And he got here, he was like, what do you mean I can buy a $30,000, $40,000 house and rent it out for $900 or $1,000 a month? He's like, the math works. Like, why isn't everybody just scooping these up left and right?
Right.
So we're fresh into the housing crash, right? So everybody is just scared to death of real estate because everybody's getting their clocks clean. So he's kind of, his mentality was, I got nothing to lose. I mean, so he just started scooping these up. And at the time, I really didn't have any interest in it. I was like, you know, I got a government job. I got a pension coming down the line. It's 40 hours a week. I show up, it's somebody else's problem. And then about 5-ish years ago, I went to him and I was like, I had bought and sold a few of my own personal houses that I didn't really buy them and fix them up with the intention of flipping them and making a bunch of money. I just happened to time the market well and did a good job of really cleaning them up. So I got to the point where I was like, I got some cash now. I'm already fully invested in the stock market through retirement plans and stuff. It works. That's when I went to him. I said, all right. And at that point, my mind was like, if I could get 5 to 10 rental houses, that would pair well with a government pension. Sure. I'll be set. Don't need to do anything else in life. I can just kick back, put my feet up. So I went to him. I was like, show me exactly how it is you evaluate these deals. How do you find them? And my biggest thing up front and still to this day is like, I want to be a real estate investor. I do not want to be a landlord.
Uh-huh.
So we
until you want to be a landlord.
Yeah. I always joke, I go, you're the landlord, I'm the money guy.
Yeah, nice, nice.
So we started buying single family homes and we that's when the light bulb went off for me. Like the switch was flipped. I said, okay, I get it now. So we started, we bought our first 18 single family rental homes in 17 months. Nice. So we just kind of just went head down and just went all in on this. And just everywhere I turn, I'm like, oh, well, there's another deal. There's another deal. That one makes sense. That one makes sense. So we quickly, some of the hurdles we had to quickly get over and pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones was we spent all of our money within 3 or 4 months. So it was quickly like, oh God, now we got to go to the bank and we got to do our first big refinance. And we're pushing the crews to get these houses done and get them leased up. And at the same time, we're having conversations with investors on hard money loans and how that's going to work. And I remember at one point I had spent all of my cash that I had, maybe a few a few hundred thousand dollars, I pulled a personal line of credit, maxed out credit cards, borrowed from retirement plans. And then I still owed people another few hundred thousand dollars on top of that.
Yeah.
And I think back to it now, I'm like, God, how the heck did we do that and not pull all of our hair out?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of like really getting the ball rolling. And then kind of how we made, well, I made the leap into multifamily was Josh kind of pulled me into it. We're having a beer in his garage one day at a birthday party. And he's pushing me. He's like, man, you really got to make that next step, get into a multifamily, buy one of these small 20, 30 unit buildings. And he has a handful of them at this point in time. So I kind of pushed back and I was like, well, when are you going to start going after some of these bigger deals, start playing with the big boys?
Yeah.
And that's kind of when the partnership formed. He's like, you know what? He's like, I can come up with maybe $1 million once. He goes, but I have completely tapped the network after that. He goes, you seem to know a few guys that have a few bucks that'd be willing to invest. He goes, let's do this. He goes, I'll start chasing some bigger deals. You go out there and start kind of pitching the concept to folks. And we started small. We started with that friends and family network, and it's just continued to grow out from the center there.
Yeah.
And we started with the people that had just kind of seen what we'd been doing over the years, and they'd seen the consistency and everything that we do. We continue to show up and do what we said we were going to do, how we said we were going to do it, and when we said we were going to do it.
So. Love it. Love it. Barry, it's interesting. Most of the successful investors that I know, whether they're in real estate or whether they're in e-commerce or developing another company of just really any kind, could be consulting, marketing, whatever, typically see a partnership, and you simply see one guy who's looking for deals, another guy who's looking for money, or you see a scenario where one guy is looking for both deals and money, and the other guy is working more of in the management operation side of things in the back office. So one guy's kind of the front of the house, the other guy's in the back of the house. My partnership, I'm the CEO, majority owner, and I'm constantly recruiting and looking for capital. We've raised and deployed about $80 million. And, but I've got a partner that handles, acquisitions, and I've got another partner that handles CapEx. So I'm curious about your structure, you and your partner, Josh, how have things worked? How has it worked for you guys to kind of divide and conquer?
Yeah, I think it's really, we were talking about this just the other week. There's so many little moving parts, and we're lucky to have each other. It really is a great blend of skill sets and kind of a drive for each person that does what they do. So Josh, he started out when he had built those relationships with brokers and banks and kind of laid the foundation. And I came out, I'm like, well, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. Mm-hmm. And luckily he also looked at me and was like, I have no desire to go out and raise capital and talk to people about deals and returns and how the structure works and just all the networking that goes into raising capital. So that's my main role. I'm out there constantly just meeting new folks, talking about how we structure deals, current deals that we have, and how we're operating things and our kind of our go forward plan. And we're both simultaneously out there looking for deals. So we definitely have some overlap in a number of areas. When it comes to like all the key asset management decisions, stuff like that, we're both involved in all those discussions. But when it comes to the day-to-day execution and managing the employees and the contractors and the staff, all that stuff, that all that stuff falls in Josh's lap.
Got it. Yeah, it's good. I mean, you got to divide and conquer. You got to know what your skill set is, stay in your swim lane, trust your team. I mean, we're to the point now where we're even considering bringing on third-party management and a full-time site supervisor for CapEx because we've got, again, a lot of cash that we can deploy, a lot of relationships, a lot of brokers in the area, know that we can close and raise a lot of money really fast, qualify for big loans, sponsor big deals, and you just got to constantly be leveling up. And if you're like, okay, well, I got to deal with this one tenant that's got a flood, or I got to deal with this one apartment building that needs a new roof. It's like you make money in the operations, so you can't discount the operations, but you got to let operations, maybe it's property management, third party. That's what they do. They manage hundreds of thousands of doors in some cases. And so we're like, okay, that's the next step for us. We're actually having a meeting on it Monday just to talk about, well, how do we level up again? And it's just so important to always have kind of your, at least one eye looking around the corner, like what's next?
Yeah.
So Barry, I'm curious for you, now that you've had, you know, almost 1,000 doors, you and your partner, you know, you had the challenges when you first got started. if you look back on your journey this last 5 or 10 years or so, you and Josh, your partner, what would you tell yourself? Like, what would you do different? What would you look back and shake your, you know, grab yourself by the collar and shake yourself and say, dude, do it this way next time? Yeah. What advice would you give your younger former self, or what advice can you pass back to our audience?
God, it's first thing, like, I grew up with that traditional mentality of get good grades, go to school, get a good job, save money, retire, pay your house off, all those traditional things that we always hear, right?
Yeah. So, how boring is that life, by the way?
What's that?
How boring is that life, by the way?
Exactly, right? So I wish I would have found whatever the source was to shift my mentality and thinking to, like, let's buy assets that pay for all of those things and allow us to have the freedom to wake up and go, what do I want to do today?
Well, yeah.
So start sooner. I mean, God, like we still joke about it and say, like, God, we'll drive by this building. Remember when we passed on that for X price? Remember when we passed on that for X price and now they're worth just like,
yeah,
just mountains of money more than what we were willing to pay for them at the time. That's probably, and I would say the biggest regret is the second part of it is just not going out and chasing bigger deals sooner and going out and finding more money sooner. I mean, it's always hard to look back, right? I mean, nobody has the perfect crystal ball. Like, just imagine if you could go borrow. I mean, I would have went and borrowed $10 million and just bought every single family home I could and just sat on them for inventory. Yeah.
Go crazy with it, right? It's like, I don't know anybody that's ever come back, or very few people that's ever come back to me and said, you know, Josh, I regret buying this discounted piece of real estate. I regret, you know, unless they just had no vision for managing it. It totally ate them up and they got distracted or divorced or they went bankrupt for some other reason. I think it was T. Harv Eker that said, you know, don't wait to buy real estate and wait. I've heard that from multiple, you know, multiple different kind of quoted sources, and I don't care where you hear it from. It just makes a ton of sense. Same here. You know, I flipped tons of properties, tons of wholesale deals, ran a private equity fund, made lots of private lender loans. And my only regret is I didn't hold everything I flipped, right?
Exactly. It's like, I don't want to sell anything.
Yeah, ever.
In my newest real estate investing book, The Flip System, you'll learn the proven secrets and strategies that I've used to be a successful real estate investor. You'll also hear the story of my journey from quitting my job to doing over 2,000 units of apartments. The Flip System is now available for a limited time, and you can grab your free copy at getflipsystem.com/podcast. You'll learn the same proven principles and secrets and investing strategies that I used to quit my job and pursue a life of financial freedom. In this book, I'm sharing exactly how I was able to personally close over 750 profitable real estate deals, make over 400 private lender loans, raise over $30 million, and acquire over 2,000 units of cash flowing apartments. Get my newest book now for free at getflipsystem.com/podcast. That's getflipsystem.com/podcast.
So Barry, listen, let's finish with what we call our final five. Yeah. Quick answers to these five questions. You ready for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
All go. Right. Favorite way to find deals?
God, if we can get them off market just through networking or the first look from the brokers, the relationships that we've built over time.
Fantastic. Favorite way to find cash or capital or joint venture partners to fund your deals?
I would say the my favorite and most effective way to find cash and new investors is just a solid referral. When we have a good investor that's been with us for a while, we reach out to them and say, hey guys, we have a new project. We're always looking to talk to new folks. They give us a referral. Hey, you know what? My friend Brad's been talking about real estate. You should talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had a great conversation with a new investor yesterday. It's got a couple $100,000 to work with. Yeah. Referral by another investor that's done about 15 deals with us. And it just doesn't get any better than that. The guy's already teed up, ready to go after one meeting. And we can you know, pretty easy layup as far as getting him in the next deal. Barry, favorite book or piece of advice that you've gotten recently?
Kind of both. The book recommendation that I got from my dad not too long ago was the book Titan. So I got that on order. It's coming. I'm ready to It's about John D. Rockefeller, so I'm excited to read that one.
Nice. Love it. Cool. Favorite place to decompress and think? And how often do you actually do it?
At least 3-4 times a week. I like to just get on the treadmill and just and run. I at least 25-30 minutes at a minimum, and I'll just put my headphones in. I'll turn the news on the treadmill for a second, and I find myself a lot of times just turn the thing off. It's the same old talking heads, right?
Yeah.
Just you think, and then just the natural advantages of exercise, right? It just kind of releases the stress and gets your head clear.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's the testosterone, the endorphins, all this, these chemicals, natural chemicals in our body. I don't know what it is about working out, but I always get my best ideas when I'm not trying to think about them. I get my best ideas. It was actually the founder of AES. What's his name? I can't remember off the top of my head, but the quote was, I never got my best ideas by actually thinking about it. I got my best ideas by just being in the joy of my day, doing something I was passionate for, something I love, like exercise or going for a walk or working out, or just, you know, doing something that you love for work. And then the ideas just, bam, there it comes. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? Yeah. Right? It's often just giving yourself the time to have free space in your brain and not dealing with social media, text message, email.
Get your mind on other things. And like you said, it comes to you sometimes.
Yeah. Pops right in. Awesome, Barry. Last question. Who is the mentor that you look up to the most and has had the most impact on your life and why?
I would say two. In the real estate world, my good friend and partner now, Josh Sterling. And then above that would just be my dad. He just, he's one of those kind of steadfast guys. He's just, he's always been consistent in everything that he's done. And it's just, I'd like to say he did a good job of raising us. So
yeah. Fantastic. That fatherly love, fatherly example. My dad passed away actually in November, and I went to the cemetery yesterday to go visit him. And still, I feel like he's still speaking to me, you know, from heaven in just, you know, everything that I do. Like, what would dad do? Like, how would dad act? And those kind of things. Such an important, such a fun job to be a father, right? So I look forward to hearing more about that from you. So Barry, listen, I know some of our investors, some of our subscribers, listeners are going to want to reach out to you, learn more about your business, learn more about maybe do a deal with you, a joint venture with you on something up in that Detroit market. Where can they reach out to you? Where can they find you?
Yeah. Best way to get a hold of me is just direct email to me, Barry, B-A-R-R-Y @newmissioncapital.com. Or you can find us on our website, newmissioncapital.com.
Fantastic. Barry, listen, thanks so much for joining us today on the show. Thanks for being on Accelerated Investor.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on today, Josh. It was great.
Thanks a lot. So great. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Accelerated Real Estate Investor and Barry Flavin from the Metro Detroit area. Definitely reach out to him if you're in his market and touch base with them and do some deals with Barry. If you enjoyed that interview, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and a review on any of the podcasting platforms, especially iTunes. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button on YouTube. I would also be eternally grateful if you would go out and share this episode. Share all of our episodes on social media. Share it with the world and help us build the Accelerated Real Estate Investor community. Also, finally, don't forget to join our free Facebook group for all of our Accelerated Real Estate Investors. Just go to facebook.com, go to groups, and search Accelerated Real Estate Investor with Josh Cantwell. Thank you so much for being here on this episode, and we'll see you next time. Take care. Hey, Josh here, and do you want to win a free Accelerated Investor t-shirt? All you have to do is give Accelerated Investor, our podcast, Accelerated Investor, a rating and a review on iTunes, okay? Do that now. Then send us a screenshot on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. What we're gonna do then is every week we're gonna pick our favorite rating and review, and we're gonna send that person a free t-shirt and maybe again some other cool fun stuff as well from Accelerated Investor. So again, don't forget to take a screenshot, leave a rating, review, take a screenshot, send it to us so we know exactly who you are. And then once a week, every week on the podcast, we will announce a new winner. Don't forget to take a screenshot and send it to us so we know exactly who you are. We'll announce a new winner every week.
were just listening to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you enjoyed this episode and learned something new, help us build the AI community by leaving a review and 5-star rating on our iTunes podcast channel. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode. To see passive investing opportunities, visit freelandventures.com/passive. To start your journey toward the lifestyle you've always dreamed of with multifamily apartments, apply for one-on-one coaching with Josh at www.joshcantwellcoaching.com.